Up our discussion of Gina. First of all, Avi, where's Avi? Yeah, brought to my attention, but you brought to my attention, right, about the Ravan. So I looked at it again. Avi brought to my attention that the Ravan seems to be Soser himself on the surface. Did you look at it again?
Yeah.
It does seem to, right? But I looked at it again, I'm not 100% sure anymore. The Ravan that we had in the beginning of the, again, let's get context. So we're discussing the problem of Gina. We're trying to finish that off. The issue of Gina is relevant for several reasons. Number one, it's definitely, you know, it seems to be like the halachic example of Ayin Hara, which makes it important in its own right. We still need to talk a little bit more about that. But in addition to that, it is, and again, that of course has, you know, significance. Just what does that mean? How seriously do we take it? Obviously, you know, the Rambam factor in all of that. But, you know, in addition to that, it also reflects a lot about Hezekiah, as we've noted. So according to some Rishonim, it might, you know, highlight a very pragmatic and a very concrete, again, with the irony that we've noted from the very beginning, which is that, you know, once you make the leap, you know, to whatever Ayin Hara accomplishes or is, that then it's, you know, it becomes, the effect could be perceived more as a, you know, traditional, you know, normative kind of hezek. So from that point of view, Ein Abisha, in addition to the, again, number one, the hashkafic, just, you know, the standalone question of just what is it and what does it imply about things that we can't see, you know, or touch or feel. This, you know, idea that the Ein Abisha part of Hezek Re'iyah is also a reflection on the nature of Hezek Re'iyah is an important aspect. And that's one of the things that I was trying particularly to zero in on to explain the Shitas HaRashba Udi'imei, right, who in response to Rabbeinu Yonah are telling us that a, you know, important transition takes place between the Havamina and the Matzkana of the Gemara. That the Gemara originally thinks, when they're not sure that Chotzer is Hezek Re'iyah, that Gina is more Hezek Re'iyah because of Ein Abisha. That's the way Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rashba and quite a few other Rishonim read the Gemara. And that all changes, right, once we conclude that Chotzer also is Hezek Re'iyah. So, you know, part of that change has to do with looking at Chotzer, and Hezek Re'iyah is a much more subtle category, an expansion of Tzniusa, but also even especially in the way that I was trying to portray it, which is that, you know, it's Noveya from that Chiyuv or the inalienable right, and so on and so forth. You know, but part of the discussion, of course, is that, you know, the Ein Abisha part is a more obvious hezek once you take the leap, you know, but once you take the perspective that this is all about Sneusa, you know, so then, of course, it becomes a weak link because, you know, it's just like, oh, you know, yawn, yawn, you know, that's like the regular hezek, you know. So, for example, that might be subject to Mechila, that might be subject to Chazaka, you know, Mokum Shinoagu, you know, and so on, which is exactly what the Rashba, you know, is saying. So, in addition to the intrinsic question of the implication of what Ein Abisha is, you know, the category of Ein Abisha, etc., there is the role that it plays within Hezekiah. However, this isn't true for all Rishonim. In other words, not everybody agrees with the Rashba. There are other answers to these questions, including some that we've seen. So, you know, how, especially if we think, you know, that Ein Abisha is part of Hezek Re'iyah, you know, is there a way to make it, you know, also kind of reflect, you know, a deeper or more ambitious or more, you know, Gedaron Shel Yisrael type of thing? And I think the answer is yes. And that is if we assume, if we kind of, you know, combine together, right, the two issues of Ein Abisha. I mean, the one being like, you know, this isn't exactly a typical physical hezek, right? It has something to do with, you know, something that is more subtle, obviously, spiritually subtle or spiritually driven, you know, even with the notion that somehow, you know, that has, you know, economic, like, effect. So I think that there's a way to look at Eina Bisha, you know, to say that that too is a reflection of this kind of more complex or more, you know, aspirational, you know, kind of idea of tzniyusa. If it wasn't a din of tzniyusa to begin with, then there wouldn't be ayin bisha, you know, which actually somehow causes damage. And maybe the damage itself is simply the violation of privacy or people knowing too much about your personal business or the reaction, you know, that they might have that might undermine, like, relationships or, you know, that might affect your additional, you know, capacity for being the recipient of siyata d'shmaya or hashgacha, whatever it works as. What I'm saying is, instead of looking at it only narrowly, there's also a way to look at these things to be connected. In which case, we would continue to look at Eina Bisha, not just, you know, in the narrowest Hezek Re'iya way, but also as an expression of the broader Hezek Re'iya way. Okay, anyways, whatever it is, we've seen a range of views, and we're just going to, you know, finish with that in just a second. But what Avi brought to my attention was the Ravan, you know, right in the beginning of the Masechta, as we noted, you know, when, to explain Hezek Re'iya, you know, being actionable at all, instead of Al HaNizak Al Harchek Es Atzmo, you know, explains, as do other Rishonim, that it's Giri Delay. But his Giri Delay, right, quotes the Gemara Bava Metzia, you know, which is basically this idea of Eina Bisha. So we already noted, you know, that that's a very, you know, powerful. Again, we noted that it's not so simple. You know, the whole business with the smile, everything that we've already noted. But the simple pshat is that the Ravan is making a strong statement that, you know, this is the kind of quintessential, you know, Hezek Re'iya. Okay. But at the same point, at the same time, the very next piece, I think it's the next piece, right? I think I maybe, oh, did I take a picture? I did take a picture of it. The very next piece says what? So I'm not 100% sure if that's... It sounds initially like he's doing that. He's, what's the question? He deals with the question about the relationship between Gina and Bika. Yeah. Right? And he says that... One second. I think I... Yeah. One second. Here. Do you have it?
Yeah, I have it.
Go ahead. Ikasha. Ikasha.
So tarts, the gina, eat a tarti, and the gria, which means pears. At the stam gina, yesh by yelanas, you pears. The stam time, big jar, which are pears. Alasados, the laka, ella has a gria, the stam alone, yam kavadi, gria, gabakatanami, ilok kavadi, roma kaya bazali.
So Phil is taking a position on chotzer, that if there's no kpeda, there's no chiyuv lasalek, right? That's also interesting. I mean, the Ravan is not taking the view that it's gedara and shel yisrael, or what's correct?
Yeah.
In chatzar. But the answer, at first glance, and this I think obviously kind of said correct, sounds like what? He's saying that there are two dinim in gina. One is hezek re'iya, the other is shmiras peiros. So I think the tendency, and this is how you're reading it, and I would read it that way too, when I looked back at my Ravan, I saw I also had this... question mark over here, is that basically this Hezek Re'iya and Shmiras, you're interpreting Shmiras Peros as Eina Bisha.
Sounds like that. Yeah.
What?
I thought it sounded like.
Yeah, no, I think you're right at first glance, and then what he's saying is that in the Sada there's no Eina Bisha for some reason, we don't know why, right? We'll get back in a second. And all there is Hezek Re'iya. But either way, it sounds like he's contrasting Eina Bisha and Hezek Re'iya, which is inconsistent with the earlier comment that Eina Bisha is itself, you know, the Gira Dile of Hezekriah, right? However, when I looked at it again and again, it occurred to me that that's maybe not what he's saying. But that what he's saying is, there are two dinim in Gina. One is Hezekriah, which is Eina Bisha, based on what he said earlier. And then there's just a second din, and that is to have a geder for the sake of Shmiras Peros. Maybe Shmiras Peros doesn't mean Eina Bisha. It just means, you know, Shmiras Peros. And that separate halach of a sadas, like Ella Hezekriah, I'm not sure why there's no, maybe Peros are more, practically more vulnerable and need to be, you know, people don't, I guess, people don't go and pick tevuah, you know, from the, you know, from Asada Bika, but you know, when you see, you know, and you know, a juicy, you know, I don't know about a red apple, but at least a juicy green apple, you know, it's really tempting, right? Or peach. Ah, so that's what I'm wondering if he means that. In which case, what he's saying is, you know, the Yisod remains Eina Bisha, right? But here there are two dinim. When it comes to Eina Bisha, you know, or Hezekriah, you know, there can be a lack of Kepeda, right? But there always be an additional element that, you know, your Peros need Shmira. Almost like, you know, like the Rambam's, you know, Mishum Ganov type of thing. Except that the wall, you know, seems to be, you know, Dalet Amos here instead of, you know, Yod Tvach. Yeah.
Yeah, and
the
Ramban Adaptat also is a similar language
in
explaining why he thinks
Gina
is more.
Yeah, but there the Ramban, I think, is explaining. I'm going to get to that Ramban in just a minute. The Ramban and Tos, the Ramban on Dalid, and Tosis on Beis on Base, are kind of responding to, you know, the parallel, the question that the Rambam, you know, threw out, you know, in his discussion of the Chachmei Loniel, and that is, come on, if you believe in Eina Bisha, you know, so why is there any difference between a Gina and a Bika? And it sounds to me like Tosis and the Ramban is expanding even further. We'll get that in just a minute. Are explaining, no. Eina Bisha differs in both of those things. What I'm saying for the Ravan is that he is that his Hezekriah is Eina Bisha, but he just thinks there's something else called Shmiras Peros.
But isn't he responding to the same issue of why is Gina would be more fun?
Yeah, so I think what he's saying is, because anyway, there's a din of Shmiras Peros, therefore the you're not going to drop your Kepeda on Hezekriah. But in something where there's no din of Shmiras Peros, there just won't be a Kepeda for Hezekriah. That's what I think. That's only, otherwise it really is a steer. I'm not 100% sure. I think it's a great question. I think it's really strange to have, you know, one piece follow the other. You know, to be so, sir? Yeah.
The problem, the footnote points out the problem with reading it that way. This, the second way?
Yeah?
Is that the Gemara, it says, he doesn't know how to answer the question. He says...
Oh, he also asks the question, the guy in the footnote?
Yeah. He says, the Gemara says...
The Blitzki, or whatever it is. Yeah?
Shaini Gina, because of Shmiras Peros. Or it's like, that would be even a better way of explaining why Gina...
No. So, it's not... No, I don't think you have to... No. I think, again, this is on Dalet Amud Aleph to explain the difference between Gina and Bika. It's still fine to explain Beis Amud Beis to say that in some respects, Gina is worse than Chatzer. As long as you can explain that Gina is worse than Chatzer, you're okay on Beis Amud Beis.
But Lishi Tasso, the Ravon, it would have been better... To bring something.
No, but it's also the Gemara is saying like this: Hezekriah, Hezekriah is Hezek or not Hezek? The Gemara is saying, well, you see from Gina that it is, and according to the Ravan, the Gemara's answer is, yeah, that's because in Gina it's a more acute Hezekriah. Now on Dalet Amud Aleph, if you're talking about something else, and that is Makom Shenagu, Makom Shalonagu, that's a different question. There, that's what the Ravan is asking his question. And there he's saying, well, you know, there are two problems in Gina. There's only one problem in Bika. Right?
The only reason to build a fence, though, in Gina...
No, he's saying there are two reasons to build a fence in Gina.
Oh, but this one puts it over the top.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I thought there was another way to read it.
So I didn't know. I didn't read the guy. I didn't read Dovlitsky's comment, but. But that's how I would answer this. But again, I don't want to spend too much time on it. I just want to... I think it's a good question. On the surface, it seems like a serious problem. I was just... When I read it a couple of times, it just occurred to me that...
Couldn't Hezekri and Shneur's Peros be two different kinds of Ayin Ra?
I understand.
No, different points.
Oh, okay.
Like Hezekri, when he uses the word Hezekri, he's actually talking more about Hezekri...
I just am trying to... I'm just trying to keep... Einabisha Mikla Kali, Hilkok Olav Laharche Gesatzo, which is a din klali in Hezekri Yishma Hezek for the Rava.
Right.
If you,
me too.
Okay, so how does it work?
I just thought that instead of seeing Hezekriya, when he uses the phrase Hezekriya,
yeah.
Instead of seeing that as something totally separate from Ayin Ra, couldn't that be Ayin Ra of people and Shmiras Peros is Ayin Ra of Peros?
I mean, it could be, I just don't. Think of that sort of. Yeah, I mean, he's quoting when he talks about Hezekri in general, the Mikla Kali of, you know, of, I think, of more generally, in Abisha. I don't know. Either way, I don't want to spend more time on it, but I think it's a very, you know, definitely Ravan would emerge here as having a very, you know, again, Hezekri barely is Hezek, therefore it's, you know, if people are not Makbid, they're not Makbid. But there's this other factor that, you know, kind of... okay, so that's one thing. Regarding Gina, let's just finish up for a minute, since we're finishing it. Yeah. So we've seen various, you know, shitos. We talked about Rabbeinu Yonah, we talked about the Rajba. But regarding the Rajba, just very, very quickly, I think that's the most important formulation in a way. As we noted, the Rajba and the Chidushim doesn't explain... what the difference is. But the Rajma, the Tshuva certainly does. And, you know, that's where the Gedarim Shalom, you know, Yisrael and all of that. The Chidush Aran, as we mentioned, also does, on Dav Dalet, to make the distinction between, or Gimel Beis, to make the distinction between Tashmisha Adam, you know, and Mamon. Just also to bring in the language of the Rosh, in Sivvav, which I gave you on the Maram Komos, the Rush doesn't make it sound so much like the differences between financial and personal, you know, or even more so, you know, that one is about Sneusa and the other is about, you know, Hezek. Instead, anybody have language? He uses the language whether it's Nafish Hezek, it's more quantitative. Nafish Hezeka, right? And then he does talk about Tadir and Tashmish Sanua, but Umisham Shimbo Beknisa Vitzia. Yeah, Melan, go ahead, if you could just read the whole. It's like two lines.
Just a
I mean, the Rosh, just to make it clear, the Rosh is quoting Rabbeinu Yonah, right? And he's siding with the Rajba, without quoting either of them explicitly, but he's weighing in on that argument. But just that his formulation is more. Pragmatic, I think. Go ahead.
So we use the first in the Bechatzer, Afilu Makim Shinagu, Shalolig, Dar Mechayv, and also Mishum, the Bechatzer, Nafish Hezega. The Chemashim, the Lotani, Masiz, the Minag Bechatzer, Val Begina.
Yeah, same Raya that the Rajma brought in the Tshuva, and the Ran brings as well. Yeah, go ahead.
Bahad Amar, Lael, the Hezek, Begina, Nafish, Hangaman, the Amar, the Man, the Isla, Hezekia, Loshman, Hezek. Omikomako, Begina, Shamanis, Bekamasa, so Shal, Begina, Bisha. Abalaman, the Amar, the Isla, Hezekia,
Shmei Hezek, so Bechatzer de Tadiri Beit Tashmish Tzanua. Tadiri Beit Tashmish Tzanua, go ahead.
Vegam Mishamishim Ba Bechniso V'Yetzia, Nafish Hezeka Mehezek Gina.
Yeah. So again, to me that sounds like, you know, some of these factors, you know, could have been, you know, qualitatively, you know, distinctive, and it might have been saying something close to what the Rajba and, you know, maybe even the Ran says. But that, you know, it's not. It's really, you know, just, you know, the level or the intensity of it. Okay. So it sounds like what the Rosh, of course, the Rosh, like the Rajba, does have to, you know, flip everything. So it sounds like what he's saying is, like, once you think that, you know, Chatzer qualifies as Hezek Re'ia, you know, then there's, you know, then it's more ubiquitous and it's more pervasive. you know, it was obvious, in other words, that Eina Bisha would be, you know, on the Peros, you know, would be Hezek. It's not obvious that this more subtle, you know, violation of privacy thing in matters. But once it is, you know, they're different forms of Hezek. You know, and it's this one is more quantitative, more frequent, more ubiquitous, more pervasive, whatever it is. It's Beknisa Ubi, it's whatever it is, you know, than the other. I think the Rajba clearly in the Tshuvan, even the Ran, it's harder to say. But again, the Ran in light of the Rambam in the Tshuva also, you know, being very insistent about this is about not about money, you know. Hezekiah is always about, you know, people and personal salt and privacy, as the Ramban and the Rif would also say. So it's a really interesting range, you know, and so on. Okay, so that is this the other thing I wanted to mention very quickly. What I was saying for the Rajba is that, like, in light of that, you could even say that where the Gemara explicitly quotes the argument of Hezek Rieshma Hezek, which is Chatzer and Ziz later on, these are the fault lines, you know, that test, you know, the inalienable rights idea, which triggers all of this. But okay. What is the position of Balei Tosis? Just that for just a second. I told you to look at that. Simcha Leib? You have Tosis there on, just to get it on the record again. Just to finish up the Mar Kobos that I gave on this. Yeah. Tosis based on base. What impression does Tosis give here?
He talks about the difference between Begina and Zeka. There is.
Yeah, before, first of all, the small one, both of them. First of all, Tashma
v'chein
Begina. Oh, so that's important. Why? The Kaman Maskina, what he's saying is here the Gemara says v'chein Begina could be on Gvil, correct? Tosis is saying, but later on, the maskana is that it is compared to Chatzer, correct?
Yes.
So you can already see that Tosis is of the opinion that what?
That the connection between them is going to carry over even.
Correct. That the din of Gina is a din of Hezekiah. Then comes the next Tosis where it's even clearer. Exactly, which is exactly the question that the Rambam, right, posed, right, to the Chachmei Loniel, right? The Rambam said, like, you know, if you're going to take this seriously, what's the difference between a Gina and a Bika? It's exactly the same thing. In both cases, you have, you know, crops. And in both cases, you know, you have too much transparency. The same thing. Okay, so Tosis is actually addressing this question, as is the Ramban, right? As was the Ravan, but I think all in different ways a little bit. What does Tosis say? Oh, so what's the answer here? So Tosis is basically saying that there is no difference between Gina and Abika in terms of the impact of Hezek Re'iyah. It is identical, correct?
Yeah.
The only thing is that does it really occasion, you know, investing in offense? So if it's something that's more frequent, then yes. And if it's something that is, you know, more targeted in terms of timing, no, but you're not allowed to do it. Bika ino medes become asal lechodesh echad b'shana v'lo mechayiv lingdar. Aval aser lamod b'shashom medes become asay. Okay. Okay. Vim tomar. Oh, now what does that signify? Exactly. So this shows for sure, and the Rajba again, but. You know, but even more so, this is the question of Rabbeinu Yonah, in a way, right? In other words, by asking this question, Tosis is saying that the hierarchy, right, it is like Rabbeinu Yonah even more, because Tosis is saying that the hierarchy between Gina and Chatzer remains, even the Maskana, correct? which is not true for the Rajba, and you know, it's no, for others it's not, it never was true even. Okay, Vyesh Lomar. But it sounds like, according to Tosas, this is certainly still a din in Hezekiah. So that is sharply to be contrasted with another reason which I put on the Marmar Kol Mitzvah I didn't get to, that Eitan mentioned to me also last time, namely yeah, you have the line there. Rabbi Gershom is very explicit, maybe even more so than the Rama, although I think there's also another point there, even in the Hava Mina. What was the Hava Mina that we were going to bring a Raya from Gina? So he adds something to that as well. Right? Oh, so number one, right? So the pashtus is that you were talking Gina's a Gina. This is a Gina Beir, meaning already Rabbeinu Gershom is, you know, it's not really Rabbeinu Gershom probably. It's, you know, from that Kufa though, it's like, you know, pre Rashi, you know, Ashkenaz. But whatever it is, doesn't make a difference for our purposes. You could see already, you know, that he's defensive about there being Hezekria Begina. So it's a Gina Be'ir. Okay? A Gina Be'ir, at least that's a Hava Mina. In other words, Eina Bisha alone there was not even a Hava Mina that it's Hezekria. Right? How does the Maskana go? Oh. So it's perfectly clear that once the Gemara introduces a Nabisha, like we were saying for the Rama, right, that once the Gemara itself introduces a Nabisha, that has nothing to do with Hezekiah. Right, the opposite of the Ravon, and even with Ravon is also early Ashkenaz, but whatever. Interesting. You have an early debate even in that. Yeah. So in Rabbeinu Gershom, it's perfectly clear that you have that. So to sum up, we had a very lively discussion, right? That includes, you know, a lot of the Rishonim on this issue. You know, we've added just Tosas, Rabbeinu Gershom, the Rush, the Ravon, etc., together with the primary, you know, protagonists, you know, that highlighted the whole thing, Rabbeinu Yonah, you know, the Rama, especially the Rajba, and of course the Rambam in the Tshuva. Okay, so with regard to the connection to Bikka, just for another minute, the Rambam's question, like they should be the same. We have Tosas' answer. Tosas' answer is basically they are the same. The only difference is that, you know, the chiyuv to build a fence, you know, is going to be contingent upon how much of a threat time-wise it is. Not the quality of the Hezekiah, but the quality of the Hezekiah in terms of its persistence, not the quality per se. Okay, the Ramban, I think it was mentioned before, right, has a different take a little bit, or Ramban, you know, goes further anyway. What does Ramban say in Dalet Amud Aleph? Very interesting distinctions, which, you know, and they have to do with the quasi, I guess, mystical, you know, part of it, and that is that, unlike, you know, well, again, we'll see. Go ahead. You have it? Go ahead. This is the one on Dalet Amud Aleph, right? In the end, he dismisses the Ramban. Obviously, he was, you know, Bali Tosas were already troubled by this. It's an objectively, you know, compelling question, obviously. Well, in the end, he rejects the Ramban. He mentions the Ramban in the Tshuva, and he rejects it. So you also know that he got it, that he's addressing it from there, right? He says, you know, Rabbeinu Moshe and his tshuva, but he says, I reject that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But so what does he give? What answers does he give? Like three answers he gives. It's just fascinating because. Go ahead. Yeah. So what do you think about that? Somehow Zarone Gina are more vulnerable to Enabisha.
It's hard to prove one way or the other. It's Mako Mechalik, but not necessarily.
Right, but I'm saying that's a... You're not talking about frequency or you know, building a wall. There's something about... I mean, you could say, I don't know, maybe the potential, the range of potential, is, you know, because it's more unseen. I don't know. I have no clue. I'm not going to weigh in. I just think it's interesting. Okay, that's one.
So that's Tosfos.
So that, I think also, but does he mean what Tosis means, which is, you know, the prohibition is always, is as long as it's out there, the only question is, does this impose upon you to build a wall? I'm not sure. I think he may see this itself as being an issue of Enabisha. I mean, Enabisha applies to something that is constant, not to something that is, you know, I'm looking for clues, basically. To understand Enabisha a little better. So that I think doesn't read to me like Tosis. The third one is like the most intriguing. Go ahead.
Oh, Mibnei Sheyishbo Yolanos, Vehenech Madim Lemaria, Vetogum Lemaichol, Vinafshu Shal Adam Misabalahen Yoser Minatvuos.
Yeah. So that, I mean, you could say Vial Cain. Right? So again, this has something to do with how Enabisha, you know, how Ayin Hara works, correct? I mean, again, I'm not going to try to explain it, but I just think, you know, quoting the language, the Torah's language about, you know, the aesthetic and the pleasure, you know, that machol, you know, that pre-ates brings to you, you know, in this context is just, you know, very extraordinary. Okay. So that's with the with Rambam. So, yeah. In the end of the day, are there nafkamina, you know, between Gina and Chotzer? So, based on what we've said, I mean, you know, we have like a range of views. Part of our, you know, what complicates things is the Havamina, the Maskana, you know, and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, there are those who see, you know, Gina and Enabisha as having nothing to do with Hezek Re'iyah, being a totally separate din, in which case the dinim will be different, like they are for the Rambam, right? For the Rambam, you know, the height of the wall is made that we're talking about a totally different din. It's a problem of Nitfas Keganav, not a problem of Hezek Re'iyah at all. That's very extreme. Rabbi didn't like it. It is 2 days in Shulchan Aruch. I think it's Mechaber versus the Ramah at the end. But obviously, if you take the view that, you know, there's no Hezek Re'iyah here, then maybe there are other Nafkamina, not just what the Rambam says. But even if you take the view that there is Hezek Re'iyah Begina, we now have a second Machlokas, and that is in terms of hierarchy. Are they equal in the end? Right? Because all Hezek Re'iyah is the same, or just, you know, whatever. Or Chotzer is certainly far worse. Right? Or Gina remains worse, even if Chotzer joins the group, which is certainly the view of Rabbeinu Yonah, and maybe of others as well. Right? So we should, even within the worldview, what I'm saying is, if it's not Hezek Re'iyah, then the Rambam's Nafkamina probably is just the beginning. There are probably other nafkaminas too. And even if they are both Hezek Re'iyah, maybe we should be thinking, you know, based on whether, you know, whether there is a hierarchy and how that hierarchy works, that there might be other nafkamina as well. For example, in terms of, you know, we had a Lori Hinta, Mechila, right? or chazaka, mechila, whatever it is, kinyan. Of course, Rabbeinu Yonah and Rajba, that's a huge nafkamina, mokam shenagu, mokam shelo nagu, whether you derive one from the other. And again, the Rajba ended up thinking that there's no din of mokam shenagu in the end for Gina either, but okay, so there's another nafkamina, possibly, another clear nafkamina, possibly, that was debated as well, which might reflect this. Anybody pick it up? Pick up on it? Kyle? Say that again? Well, we'll get to that in just a second. But is that more Nagina than... Right, I want to talk about just another Gina issue where this may play out. Anybody catch it in the Mishnah Melech? No? The Mishnah Melech quotes the tour. By what? Yeah, excellent. Exactly. Let's say you have a gina she'ena ru'uya lechaluka. Okay? Whatever that means. It means it's not valid amos for each one, or maybe the shear might be different in chalukas gina than chalukas chotzer. That's something else to think about. Like, what are the minimum units of independence, for different things? Is it always dalad amos? Dalad amos, of course, is a din in mako, right? That's why you have dalad amos, in terms of Mavri dalad amos b'shus harabim, and kinyan dalad amos, and so on and so forth. That's like a mako, it's a unit of dalad amos. Less than dalad amos, right, might be oso amokom, or not, at least not an independent mokom. Right, this is the famous question that the Rishalmi discusses, that Bali Tosis bring up, Kan Shab say kluta kemishohun chadami or mahalech kaomed. So it should be that you'll never be chayiv, for violating Shabbos, because whatever you do, it's always less than dalad amos. Anyways, whatever, I don't care about the actual shear at the moment, but this is the question. The tour, Josh, the diuk of the tour, anyway, that was made by the Mishnah Melech and others, that it sounds like when it comes to Gina, that the only time that there's a din of Chiyuv Ligdor is in a situation where Yeshbo Kedei Chaluka. If it's Yeshbo Kedei Chaluka and one is Kofa the other to break up the partnership, so then, and maybe according to the Diuk in the tour, only then, right, is there an obligation, to be Goder. Right? However, when it comes to Chatzer, as we know, there are two scenarios. Right? One scenario is, one of the parties forces the breaking up of the partnership. The other one is that the two of them agree to break up the partnership, but then there is a superimposed obligation to build a wall. That second case, you have the language, Josh? Go ahead. The tour. Or you could quote it from the Mishnah Melech. I don't really care. It's correct. If you look at the tour, it's there. It's a halakha tezayin, right? You can use the language of the Rush, his father. Lo Nefishi, right? So that's a very interesting, again, now, I think Rabbeinu Yonah, right, would say to you, you know, if he was speaking Yiddish, you know, Pum Faker. Right? All our Yiddish people left. I don't know. But, oh, probably Simcha Leib. All right? Yeah. So, you know, we could say in Hebrew, like, you know, Ipcha Mestabra. Right? Rabbi Yonah would say the opposite. Other Rishonim would say, you know, the Kamash Malan in the end of the Gemara is that they're equal. Even if you hold that they're not equal, you could still say that whenever there's Hezekriah, there's an obligation to build a fence. Right? But if there's a difference in terms of, you know, Mechila, Chazaka, you know, Makom Shenagu, etc., then the idea that, you know, that this is a conceivable distinction, right, is very reasonable, correct? So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, again, they, you know, they discuss the Sma in Simen Kuf Nun Ches Sif Katan Aleph just says, you have it there?
He
just says, oh, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't, or the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch just don't mention it because they're so mech on what they said, to plug it into Chatzin. So in addition to that, okay, you can yawn, like, okay, that's, you know, like we have this exciting chiluk and this month. But on the other hand, like, why should you just reflexively apply the din of chatzar? If it ends up according to the Rajba, it's less than chatzar. So you're saying it doesn't matter less, more, as long as it says a griya, that's enough? Maybe. Okay? But the Ksos also quotes the Ksos quotes this Mishnah Melech, you know, and is considers that it might really be true. Okay, so that is important. Now, yeah. As opposed to what, the building a wall? I mean, people don't care about they. On the con, isn't it? I'm trying to think. I mean, the fact you say it's what. Does Ramban say anything about Kpeita? I thought he doesn't. I thought he says nothing about building of the wall, I mean about the Chiv to build a wall, nor does he say anything. Am I wrong? Oh, let me make you louder, by the way. Hold on 1 second, let me, so people can hear. 1 second. Go ahead, Eitan.
His first... Well, on the first factory, especially says Derech Bnei Adam LaMahakrit is Aroni Gina Yosu Rebeka. So,
you know, Derech LaHak, but again, that could be that, you know, that and therefore, yeah, that could be technical, correct?
But saying also, I don't know, in the last line he said, you know, the third factory also says Nafsho Shaladam Misabel Lahen, right? So I guess I don't know if that's about Hakvada, but is there anything that specifically points in the direction of limiting the Rehiya? More than
I thought so. I thought Tosus was very clear that there's no difference whatsoever, and it's only a question of, like, you're going to make a guy for 1 month's. In other words, if you have to watch, you have to abstain from this all year round. So then we mean to help you out by structuring it into the thing, you know. But it's identical. And to me, it sounded like the Ramban was saying that the impact or the, you know, what's unacceptable about Eina Bisha, you know, is distinctive, you know, in these ways. That's how it seems to be. Okay. Anyways, let's talk about one other thing, because to finish this part up for a moment, and that is the Rambam Shita. There's something else distinctive about Shita Saram. Yasi? About Gina? But Halacha Yudzai. Right? What's distinctive in Halacha Yud Zayin? Right, Beis Tezayin we read, that's a big chiddush. Right, what's with Beis? Yeah, read Beis Tezayin if you don't mind.
Wow.
And the Rabbi doesn't like either, right?
But
so said, what doesn't he? What does the Rambam say that then? What doesn't the Rabbi like?
So first, he doesn't understand why it didn't just lokeach.
Yeah, why the lokeach and not the mocher? Why is that any different than shutfim, where you know you have both parties have to do what they have to do. And secondly, he says, "Afilu b'makom shenogu shelo ligdar beginos." That sounds an awful lot like the Rajba, right? The Rajba's Yerushalmi. Maybe it is based on Yerushalmi, but right, the Pashtus of the Bavli is, you know, that ginos are different than chatzeros, right? The chatzeros maybe always, but Ginos depends on Mokum Shinagu. Maybe Stam would be like Chatzer, but if it's Nagu Loligdor, that would work. Right? So the Ravid says about both very, very cryptically. Right? Number one, Omer Avram Vechein Amocher, meaning this is exactly like Shutfim. And number two, Omer Avram Zeshibush, meaning it depends on Mokum Shinagu Loligdor is going to be effective in Gina. Right? When it says about Bika, this seems to be accurate. Okay. So the first thing to note here also is that this, and I gave this on the Mar Makomos, that this is Lashitaso, where? Gasi Yisav? Micah? Ah. Oh, Micah again. It's like, it's close. Tani? Pirush Mishnayos. Right? You have the language of Pirush Mishnayos? Go ahead. Excellent. Yeah, second Mishnah, the way it's structured in the Pirush Mishnayos on the Gemara, anyway. So it's exactly what he says. He says if it's a mocher and a lokeach situation, right, then there's a chiyuv to be go there. Even if it's makom shenagu lo ligdor, exactly what he said so far. Keep going. Now he contrasts it to bika, right? Oh. So that is against the Rambam in Mishnah Torah, correct? Yeah. Correct. So the Ksos already points us out. We'll get to Ksos in just a minute. But the Ksos points out that there's a stira between the Rambam and... again, you don't need the Ksos to point it out. I just have to read it carefully. In Halacha Yitzayin, the Rambam, what he says about Bika is consistent with the Gemara. What he says about Gina, you know, is problematic on the surface. And it needs to be understood much better. Yeah.
Well, why is it a stira on Bika? Is.
Here in Mishnah Torah, Bika in Bamakom in Mishnah Torah it's Avalim Machar Bika Stam Ein Chayvin Ligdor El Bamakom Shenoa Bamakom Shenoagu you are Chayiv. I thought in Pirush Mishnayos he says that even Makom Shenoagu you're still not obligated. Doesn't he say that?
He says that even Makom Shenoagu Ligdor Stam Bika Kemakom. What does that even mean? Makom Shenoagu Ligdor Stam Bika Kemakom.
Stam.
In the Pirush Mishnah, he says, "Afilu b'makom shenagu ligdor, stam bika b'makom shenagu ligdor, shelo ligdor."
B'makom shenagu shelo ligdor. Unless
his language is just "afilu b'makom shenagu ligdor," right? It says, "Because stam bika is k'makom shenagu shelo ligdor."
Shelo ligdor, right? Meaning, even if the meaning, no matter what, it's always.
But if you use that language, like, it's almost like blending the Gemara. Like stam bika b'makom shenagu ligdor means. Definitionally, but
right. The question is, what is it? Right. That's not what he says in Mishnah Torah, though. Right. So anyway, the Ksos points that out that there's a again, it's not the first and it's not the last time that we'll encounter a discrepancy between Pirush Mishnayos and the Halacha Hazakah. Okay, but either way, of course, the bigger question, Yossi, is what? Like, what's going on here? What is this? Let's go to the first, you know, Ha'ara, the Ravid first. Like, correct? And then just to, you know, to raise the stakes even a little bit more, what kind of wall do you have to build on in Halacha Yud Zayin? I don't mean the quality of the wall necessarily. I mean, what height? So it's not clear, right? I guess you would assume 10 tefachim, but the Ksos in Siman Kuf Nun Chesif Katan base says, no, in his opinion, you know, the Rambam means a kosel of Dalid Amos. That's pretty interesting. The Ksos actually is very interesting in general. Anybody have the Ksos open? What is it? Kuf Nun Chesif Katan base, I think. The Ksos says, I think that the Rambam, you know, would this is a better answer. It's like one of those interesting things. You know, he says this is a better answer for the Rambam for the question of Chachmei Lonil than the answer that he actually gives. He doesn't say it that way, but that's kind of what he says. He says, oh, in light of this, meaning what? The Chiddush of the Rambam is what? That somehow there's a difference between Mecher and Shutfas. Right? When you break up a shutfus, it's one thing, and when there's a mecher, right, the rules are apparently different. As the Magen Mishnah points out, right, you know, how do we know this? Like, where does the Rambam get this from? There's no obvious, explicit Gemara that says this. In that respect, the Ravid, you know, is justified in saying, like, what's going on here? There are two like schools of thought, and they might, you know, end up merging. Anybody know? Like, where did the Rambam get this from? So the Magen Mishnah, this I think really is important. Magen Mishnah says what? See it? Anybody? Zach? Magen Mishnah says this is a Rambam, you know, just working off of a later Gemara, Kuv Zayin, I think, he says, and the Rambam in Nochas Mechira, Perek Chaf Aleph, like Halacha Chav Beis, which says that whenever, you know, there's ambiguity in the transaction between a Mocher and a Lokeach, right, that, you know, the Lokeach, you know, has to assume, you know, extra protection. You have it there, Zach?
Yeah.
First of all, Magen Mishnah starts off by saying, where does the Rambam get it from? Right. That's quite a statement. Yeah. Whoa. Whenever there's a breakup of shutfus is like, you know, okay, so that's an equitable kind of a thing. You know, you can't have like, you know, has a gumwer. You know, neither side, you know, can tolerate that. But when there's a transaction, I mean a mechira, so it's implicit that the lokeach, you know, or that the mocher gets extra protection, right? He gets shmira, not just, you know, not just from like obvious nezek, but like, you know, one step beyond, right? And that's based on the Rambam's psak, based on the Gemara Daf Kuv Zayin, which is what? Yeah. Perek Chaf Aleph Halacha Chabeis.
Yeah, and there's more of Perek Chaf Aleph Halacha Chabeis. Mocher Chatzisada Lokeach Makabalolam Makam Hagerda.
And that's also why, you know, it affects what constitutes Makom Shenagu, right? That, you know, this extra din, or this din, which, right, correct?
Yeah.
The Kesef Mishnah, he just has an interesting Ha'ara, where he says, oh, I think the Rambam got it from the language of the Gemara and Abdallah and Aleph, and that's the pshat of stam and not. Like, normally, typically, we interpret stam and not means, like, is it a stam a place of Mokum Shinagu? Like, there's Mokum Shinagu, Ligdor. There's Mokum Shinagu, Logdigdor. And then there's, you know, stam. Right? So the question is, like, you know, what is the default, you know, what determines when it comes to a Gina, a Bika, a Chatzer, you know, between those three, you know, where you have a positive minug, a negative minug, or the absence of a minug. Says the Kesef Mishnah, I don't think maybe the Rambam read the Gemara differently. How did he read it? He's interpreting the word stam to mean mechira stam. Like, if there's not stam, you know, like, oh, there's no minhag. But a mocher stam, where there's no explication of the mutual, you know, obligations in terms of a wall, right? There's an assumption based on the nature of mechira, right, that there's this additional safeguarding, you know, of his own interests. I mean, that the lokeach has to go above and beyond to insulate the mocher. And that's the pshat. I says the Kesef Mishnah, the Rambam himself clearly also read the Gemara Kipshuto about the stam. So this is a fascinating thing, just from a methodological point of view. Namely, Zach, what does he say? Oh, the Gemara's language is like, you know, it's like, you know, when I say that about a mikra, people get, you know, say, how can you say such a thing? You know, he's saying about the Rambam's reading of a Gemara. The Rambam read the Gemara that the language is intentionally ambiguous to mean two different things. It means Mokum Shinogu, Mokum Shalom Nogu, Mokum Shein Minog when it comes to Shudfim. And it also means, and by the way, if there's a Mechira Stam, a Stam Mechira, right, then there's an implicit obligation in the other direction. Right? That's pretty wild. Now, the Lechem Mishnah also has an interesting Ha'ara. The Lechem Mishnah says, oh, I like the Magid Mishnah. Right? There's, ah, but don't ask me questions. You have that? So there are two different dinim. There's one din, this is very important, not for us now so much in general, but it's, you know, in general, it's an interesting question. There's a din that the mocher is mocher ba'ayin yafeh, that has the opposite, you know, effect. You know, it's shaloshir klal. And then now there's another din, and that is that he's like, you know, instead of being expansive in what he's selling, right, he's protective. Says Alecha Mishnah, these are not contradictory. He should be expansive and magnanimous in terms of what it is that is included in the Bechira. Right? It's not the minimum, it's the maximum. On the other hand, in terms of his own remaining, you know, quality of life or self-protection, as far as that is concerned, right, that's this other halacha. Very fascinating, right? Okay, again, food for thought and bigger questions. Oh, Now, in addition to all of that, you have the Ksos. Okay? So the Ksos, number one, you know, he zeroes in on this Rambam. Who has the Ksos? Kyle, we have it? Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't mind, just quickly. I didn't give it to you, so...
It comes up like as a mission.
The what? Yeah. Go ahead. He says, oh, this could be... Firstly, he says, this could be a great answer to the question of the Chachmei Elohim asked against the Rambam. Like they said to him, you know, the Gemara says that Gina is Hezek Ria. Right? How can you say it's Midas Chasidus? Right? Not only that, it's even more Chomor in some respects than Chatzer. You have it? Kyle, go ahead. These are his lines about Chachmei Elohim?
Yeah, this raises part of the Yashal Vishkato, the Mashadik Shuva of Chachmei Elohim. Shikata Begina Machitza Asara, Bilo Banatizen, and the Chim Begina. To Arbamus, Kumo Bachatzer, Aram Hishigal, and the Chim Begina, Kai Gabo Gazis. Of Vishkato, the Chiburo, Pirisho, Mishnaish, the Meyer, the Mokha, the Kath, the Sarah Bazen, the Chitza Arbamus.
Oh, this is his big chiddush, right? That the Rambam in Halacha Yud Zayin actually means mechitza is dal and amos, right? That's a big chiddush. I think it's very appealing. Yeah, go ahead. So he says, and that would also explain, that would answer the Chachmei Elohim's question. Of course, that's not the answer that the Rambam gave. So it's again an interesting methodological, you know, point. Like, how come the Rambam didn't give that answer? Well, it could be because, you know, they always have these jokes about, you know, there were Chivas Rambam, and, you know, is that a way to answer a difficult Rambam? But, you know, or as Simcha Leib would say, a Shvera Rambam. But the, right, so this is interesting. I mean, you could say, because the Rambam wanted to explain the Gemara according to both, you know, explanations, you know, whether it was talking about Shutfim or whether it was talking about Mocher, you know, and Lokeach, right? Okay, either way, but it's very interesting. Now, what's the point? I mean, how come all of a sudden you need a Dalad Amos Kosel and a Gina? I mean, didn't the Rambam say, you know, that in his, you know, letter to Chachmei Elohim, that it's only when it's, you know, Gufa Adam, not go ahead. Oh, this is very interesting about Nafal, which we'll get back to. Even if you hold Hezek Ria, Lo Shema Hezek, we have to discuss this, you know, for a few more minutes when we finish all this up. That, you know, when he's, you know, if they do build it and then it falls down, the fact that you become accustomed to a higher level of privacy, you know, that has its own, that generates its own reality. That's how Tosa explains it. So the Ksos is suggesting something similar for the Rambam, because this is a Gina Mibain Ginosav. So the point is that, you know, till now he's been conducting himself in a certain way, because his Gina, now all of a sudden it's a foreign Gina Ben Ginosav. That's that's one suggestion, correct? Yeah. Or, it's simply like you said before, And that is like it's an added level of protection or insulation or inoculation against, right? There could be things that are not objectively actionable, you know, when there's a certain, you know, dialectic going on or, you know, kind of competing interests and claims, right? But if I, you know, am giving up, you know, something or selling something and I'm in the driver's seat, you know, and also I'm giving up a level of privacy, right, then that's a different reality. Correct? Say? Oh, in a way. So what I want to say about this Rambam, again, we have to stop now, but is that the Rambam fits in, I think this Rambam really fits in beautifully, the Magen Mishnah, the Lechem Mishnah, and the Ksos. And the Kesem, not, I don't mean to exclude the Kesem Mishnah necessarily either. It helps the Kesem Mishnah a little bit too, because these aren't, you know, these are two different dinim. This is not a din that's formulated in Hilchos Mechira. Right? It's not in Perikaf Aleph Halacha Kaf Beis. Although I did check the Frankel, I was just trying to see how good they really are. You know, I think they did a terrific job, you know, their Mekoros V'tziyunim. I just think they just did an excellent job. So I was just curious, like, you know, are they going to mention in Perikaf Aleph Halacha Kaf Beis to look at the Magen Mishnah? And they did. So, kol hakavod. Anyways, but the point is, this halacha is not in Perek Chaf Aleph Halacha Chaf Beis, right? It's in Hilchos Shechinah, and it's a shachein. You know, it's right next door to the, you know, to the Gina halacha, where the Rambam, you know, is completely dismissive. So it's very striking. Again, the Rambam didn't understand it, and everybody's talking about it. So I like, actually, you know, the Ksos's idea that this is a real wall. You know, it's not explicit, but it kind of is implicit, I think, in the Rambam. And that would explain V'chein V'gina and all, and so on, and get him out of other difficulties. But I think the fact that Zohar Shechinim says tells us the following. That's everything we've been saying so far about Hezek Re'iyah, you know, being a function of the, you know, requirements of Shechinim, and, you know, being that, and in general, this halacha being about, you know, this sliding scale of expectations of privacy and so on and so forth. So the Rambam says in Halacha Tezayin that all things being equal, in Agina, there is no such thing. And it's just Midas Chasidus. But it is Midas Chasidus, okay. Which is more than saying, it's not saying that it's nothing. But that Midas Chasidus gets bumped up into a real halacha, given, you know, the additional, you know, obligations of a mocher to a lokeach, or the expectations of the lokeach to continue his previous conduct or lifestyle, you know, in that property. So, you know, it really is a din in Hilchos Shechinim, but, you know, Shechinim bumped up by lokeach and mocher, not stam shutfin. And I think that's really like a very important idea. Okay, so what remains to be done, and I'll try to give you Mar Makomos tomorrow, is we still want to go, still want to speak very briefly about the Ra'ah, you know, Bona B'toch Shalom. Again, this whole business about, you know, the quality of the materials, the quality, you know, the width, what's going on there. I think that is a very important issue about the relationship between, I'll tell you now, the relationship between, like, star Kezek Re'iyah, right, and how, you know, it expresses itself, how it manifests itself in the Chiyuv Binyan Akosa, right? Just like we saw that's a very intricate, you know, interrelationship in terms of Gira Didei, you know, and you know, again, even Mechila Gemura and the Rush, like Mechila is on the money to build the wall, not the Hezek Re'iyah, or no, right? So too, I think that the discussions of, you know, the quality of the material, the quality of the width of the wall, and the question whether or not separate from Hezek Re'ia, there become considerations that define, you know, that argument about, you know, the quality of the wall, where the wall is, what it's made out of, et cetera, et cetera. I think they become, you know, that kind of question, you know, because at a certain point, and I think it also we have to weigh two things, which I'll explain this on Tuesday, but, you know, we have to, like, there's no situation of Hezek Re'ia, or there's a situation of Hezek Re'ia that requires remedy, and once it requires a remedy, you know, then the remedy is more than simply neutralizing. You can't go back, in other words, like, there can be a situation at the border, as we discussed, I think I mentioned this the other day, right, there can be a situation at the border where there's no Hezek Re'ia, and therefore there's no chiyuvim of Hezek Re'ia. But once there's a Hezek Re'ia issue, right, and you're obligated to remedy it, you know, then you can't necessarily remedy it by putting into place, you know, the circumstance that had it existed, you know, would have absolved you from dealing with the problem to begin with. And that's true both from a Hezek Re'ia point of view, especially psychological anxiety and so on, but also the possibility of, like, you know, future Hezek Re'ia. Do you have to consider that at some point? But maybe also just the, you know, the neighborly solution itself, which kind of, you know, achieves a bit of an independence because of the nature of this Hezek. Everybody following me? So that's basically what I want to say about, you know, these questions. But I just want to pin that down and explain it a little better and, you know, get on the record some of the shittos. So we'll talk about that. And we still have to talk about the Rashash, the Rama, the Gra, the question of, you know, what level of partnership. We still have to talk about that. And we talk about the other cases of the Gemara, still Beishar, and, you know, Hezekah de Rabin, Hezekah de Bias, you know, Gagan, Chatzer. But, you know, try to do it briefly, just, you know, with some of the Rishonim al Atar. And that will finish. And then I want to go back just to, let's say, to the Sugya Daf Chav Gimel, just the Rishonim's discussion about Kinyan Sudar and Mechira, to talk about that also briefly. We touched on it, but those are the things left. I hope we'll try to get through them Tuesday. And I'll give you on Monday, you know, some chorus on that, that we didn't, if things I didn't give you yet, but I still have a few things I did give you. And then we'll move on to the next topics. Okay.